5,000 miles away from Philly. The atmosphere was electric. It wasn't Lincoln Financial Field, but the Eagles still put on a show.
Hurts back. Hurts looking. Hurts looping it, and it is caught for a touchdown by Barkley. Barkley for a touchdown and a perfect pass as he beats Isaiah McDuffie.
That's the matchup you want to exploit.
Behind an explosive debut from their big offseason pickup, the Eagles came back from Sao Paulo with a 34-29 win over the Packers and a 1-0 record to start the season. But it wasn't a perfect night by any stretch. Beyond Saquon Barkley's stat line, there were issues. Some of them could have cost the Eagles the game.
They need to get more bodies around Jordan Love and at least force him into some turnovers, some mistakes. They need a little bit more of that in the second half.
After the first game of a season, there's always a bunch of angles you could focus on, or knee-jerk reactions or takes you could make. In this episode, I'm going to take the opposite approach. I want you to join me as I zoom in on two key areas where the Eagles had success, two others where they didn't, and what these early indicators might mean in the context of a team with Super Bowl aspirations. I'm Jeff McClain, Eagles beat reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer, and this is Uncovering the Birds, a production of the Philadelphia Inquirer and KYW News Radio original podcast, with new episodes dropping every week. That's right, every week during the regular season. Coming up, we'll do a pick six with Dallas Goedert, who had a nice grab in Friday's game. I also fill you in on what I'm hearing is happening with the linebacker core. But first, let's dive into some good and some bad from the Eagles' Week 1 win over the Packers. Brazil came and went. Didn't get a ton of time there, but it was cool to see a place I'd never been to before. The crowd was really into the game. And I snuck in a good meal. But I'm back. My bags are unpacked. I've watched the tape. Let's do this. Four big takeaways from the first game of the season. Number one, Mekhi Becton, Cam Jurgens, and the Eagles' revamped offensive line held up. That is definitely an encouraging thing. When the Eagles signed Becton this offseason, it was viewed as a move to add depth at tackle. The one-time New York Jet might have been a former first-rounder, but the Eagles already have anchors at right and left tackle, Lane Johnson and Joey Maialata. But Landon Dickerson's excused absence from minicamp opened the door for an experiment, Becton at guard. He had never played the position before, but then Tyler Steen got hurt early in training camp, and Becton was bumped up to the first team. Johnson saw the potential for a fit.
Man, he's just so long. He gets through the defenders really quickly. There's just some things that he does with his size that really pop off, you know, on the tape whenever you watch it. So extremely big, extremely physical, and for somebody, you know, that height, his ability to bend is exceptional.
Becton never looked back. And Friday night's game showed why O-line coach Jeff Stoutland likes him at guard, even though there were concerns about the positional change. Becton played well. As expected, he overpowered many of the Packers he faced. By my count, he blocked more than a half dozen defenders to the ground in pass protection. In the run game, he strong-armed D-linemen. At 6'8", 360 pounds, Becton used his 36-inch arms to his advantage. If he can get his hands on you, there's a strong chance you're not getting by him. Now, there's a flip side to this, too. Becton's size can be a detriment. Because he doesn't have the greatest change of direction, he can be susceptible to inside counter moves. But, by and large, he had an impressive debut. You know who else had a good first night? Cam Jurgens. Friday was his first start at center, following Jason Kelsey's retirement. He was the starting right guard all last season. While he had never played that position before, there was less uncertainty about him than with Becton because he was drafted to succeed Kelsey at center. As a blocker, Jurgens was mostly on point. He had a few missed assignments, but nothing to be worried about long term. The bigger issue were his snaps to Jalen Hurts. Hurts fumbled two exchanges. The first when a shotgun snap from Jurgens arrived before Hurts was expecting it. The second came late in the game on a tush-push attempt at the goal line. Most of the responsibility for those miscues fall on Hurts. It's his job to be ready and to secure the ball. But the quarterback and center are still developing a rapport, and from what I understand, those fumbles were a result of the snap count. Moving forward, the pair needs to be on the same page in terms of how they communicate pre-snap. Here's what Coach Nick Sirianni saw.
Obviously, anytime you put the ball on the ground two times, there's a miscommunication there. I mean, we can't put the ball on the ground two times, and so we got to make sure we're taking care of that football.
The good news is that Hurts and Juergens' chemistry should only improve. They just need more time together. Overall, the Eagles' O-line had a great game. The apparent lack of depth remains a concern. But as long as the starters are healthy, always a big if, the unit should be fine. My number two good takeaway has to be Saquon Barkley. Barkley was, in many ways, the headliner from the Eagles' victory.
Are they going to continue to run Barkley? They are on first down, and he breaks three tackles, four. He's across the 50. He's across the 40. He's across the 35. They cannot stop Saquon Barkley.
How fun is that?
Barkley proved to be the dual threat weapon the Eagles were hoping he'd be when they signed him to a three-year contract in March. He got the job done as a runner and receiver. The numbers were impressive. 24 carries for 109 yards and two touchdowns, and two catches for 23 yards and an acrobatic 18-yard touchdown that we heard at the top of the podcast. But the number I was more fixated on was Barkley's yards after contact. A year ago, the Eagles felt that their running backs didn't take full advantage of the O-line's run blocking. Their average 2.5 yards after contact proved as much. Barkley had some nice holes to run through against the Packers, but his average of 3.58 yards after contact showed what he can bring to the table as a runner. He's explosive, but also powerful and hard to bring down. Barkley is the Eagles' first bell cow since LeSean McCoy. Their by-committee approach in the decades since McCoy was traded has by and large worked. But in nine seasons since, there have been only two times when a running back has had more carries than Barkley's 24 on Friday night. An argument could have been made the Eagles should have fed him more, but they'll need to be conscious of not overloading his workload as the season progresses.
There's going to be games where there's opportunity for me to go out there and take over, and there's going to be games for AJ, Javonte, and so on and so on. Still, I feel like I left a lot out there and can't wait to get back and watch the film and see where I can improve on. It was a great start. At the end of the day, the most important thing is to get to win football games, and that's hard to do in this league, especially against a great team like that.
Two more quick notes from the good department, both on the defensive side of the ball. The main positives, in my eyes, were linebacker Zach Bond and rookie cornerback Quinyon Mitchell.
Love takes the snap. He backpedals. He is sacked back at the 24.
Yeah, Zach Bond.
He is sacked. It is Zach Bond who has been the outstanding player on defense early in the game.
Bond was a question mark heading into the season. He had never started at off-ball linebacker in his career. He was constantly around the ball against the Packers and led the Eagles with 15 tackles and two sacks. Mitchell started at outside corner and stayed there all game, partly because of Isaiah Rogers' hand injury. Had he been available, the Eagles might have considered moving Mitchell to the slot in nickel personnel. Instead, they went with Avante Maddox, who struggled. Mitchell appears to be the real deal, something that was becoming more and more clear to me during my camp observations. He didn't exactly lock down his side in the game, especially in the second half, but he looked the part. He made plays on the ball and was sticky in coverage. It's obviously only one game, but the Eagles may have finally drafted their first legit outside corner in decades. Bond and Mitchell were big reasons why the Eagles offset their lack of a pass rush against the Packers. And that brings us to the first of my two bad takeaways from week one. Pass rush was a concern of mine in training camp, and it's even more so now after the opener. Here's why. The Eagles' defensive linemen failed to get a sack. Josh Sweat was the only edge rusher who consistently pressured Packers quarterback Jordan Love. New defensive end Bryce Huff had a rough night. Not only was there a lack of production, he played fewer snaps than the 36-year-old Brandon Graham and second-year edge Nolan Smith. Huff has drawn the most public criticism since the game, and understandably so. I'll have more on his struggles and how the Eagles feel about it internally in a moment. But the bigger disappointment to me was the play of defensive tackle Jalen Carter. I'm not worried about him in the long run. His talent is abundant, and he's going to impact games. But the Eagles' other defensive linemen need to contribute. and win their one-on-one battles if Carter is going to draw the type of attention he did against the Packers. Offenses can't double him all the time. By my count, after watching the film, the Packers devoted additional resources to stopping him on almost two-thirds of his 51 snaps. In pass protection, Green Bay essentially doubled Carter on Love's deep drops, then played him one-on-one on screens and other quick throws. In run blocking, they ganged up on him as much as they could and seemed to frustrate him. He was undisciplined with his gap integrity. Carter was still a handful for the Packers, and they got away with some holds. While Carter may have been a disappointment, the bigger long-term concern is Huff. Huff started opposite Sweat, but only played 45% of the Eagles' defensive snaps. He played two fewer snaps than Graham and one less than Smith. Breaking down to snaps some more, Huff rushed 17 times and didn't pressure Love once. I wondered why Huff played so little, so I checked with the team source to see if he was injured, but was told he was fine. As for his performance, it wasn't fine. When the Eagles signed him to a three-year, $51 million contract, it wasn't necessarily to step into Hassan Reddick's shoes. But they also didn't sign him to play less than a 36-year-old. This is from Nick Sirianni's Monday press conference.
Hey, Nick, what factored into Bryce Huff getting fewer snaps than Brandon Graham and Nolan Smith?
Yeah, just the way the snap counts went for that day. You know, sometimes you're in a drive. Like, there's different reasons for, you know, how the drive's going. If they're going and they were going on the ball, you know, at certain points. So, like, some of those plays can kind of build up, you know, in that game with the style of game it was and with some of the tempo that was happening. You know, those guys, I don't know exactly how many more reps was it, Jeff?
I think it was just a couple for Brandon and one for Nolan. Are you well? You know, this is the guy that you gave 51.
Yeah, I know. But when it's that close, when it's like one more or two more, I mean, that the context of that, you know, I didn't know exactly what it was. But yeah, I mean, it's a couple more and just like with the catches or with the ball, the touches that can go different ways each game. I knew it wasn't that much more. So okay.
One team source urged caution. Huff is still learning to play in Vic Fangio's scheme. The Jets utilized Huff as a pin-the-ears-back style pass rusher. But in Philly, he's going to have to play the run more and learn a different technique. The situation reminds me of another free agent defensive lineman the Eagles brought in a few years back who struggled initially after a scheme change, Javon Hargrave. It took a year, but Hargrave eventually figured it out and became a Pro Bowler. Can Huff do the same? Can the Eagles afford to be as patient with Huff? One team source told me he'll figure it out. He better. My second bad takeaway, the quarterback. Jalen Hurts isn't at the point in his career yet where below average gains can be forgiven based on a larger sample size. Sure, you could find reasons to downplay the Green Bay game, essentially one of the worst outings in his five NFL seasons. It was just one game. He's still getting comfortable in Kellen Moore's offense. He had some impressive moments, and the Eagles ultimately won. But they won almost in spite of Hurts, who had three turnovers and nearly doubled that amount. That the Eagles' offense put up 34 points spoke to the potential of Moore's scheme.
Jalen, how were you able to rebound from those early turnovers?
Just keep the main thing, keep pressing on. I think how we responded as a team, we all experienced some adversity, but we all dug deep. Dug deep and kept pressing forward. You know, it's all things that you can control. We continue to find our rhythm as a football team, but it's always always good to be able to figure it out with a win.
Here's some numbers from Next Gen Stats that I put in my game column in the Inquirer and have made the rounds on social media, but they bear repeating. Moore's offense utilized motion 65.8% of the time against the Packers, the most in a game for the Eagles since 2020. Hurts was significantly more effective when a play featured motion. He completed 15 of 21 passes on those plays for 212 yards and two touchdowns. On plays without motion, he went 5 of 13 for 66 yards and two interceptions. The logical conclusion, Moore should run even more pre-snap motion.
Coach did a great job. I think I'll continue to get that rhythm with him. I definitely could have avoided some of those things. I put us in a bad spot as a team. I put us in a bad spot, but you're going to keep pressing forward. Keep pressing forward.
It wasn't all bad. Hurts was better versus the blitz, which he struggled with by the end of last season. He went 6-for-8 for 91 yards and a touchdown when the Packers sent extra rushers. Hurts' problems came when he actually had time in the pocket. He was indecisive and held the ball too long. He averaged 3.08 seconds to throw, which was below his 3.11 average last season, but well above his average of 2.86 seconds in 2022. Holding the ball longer than other quarterbacks isn't necessarily a bad thing, especially if you can extend plays or scramble for yards, but Hurts needs to go through his reads faster. I don't normally make much of Pro Football Focus's ratings on players, but the fact that Hurts' performance in Brazil was rated the lowest of his 57 career starts says something. Again, there needs to be a little patience with Hurts in a new system. The conditions in Brazil weren't ideal either. The field was slippery, and the Eagles' offense had to deal with crowd noise, despite it technically being a home game. But it could have been much worse with how Hurts played. Instead, the Eagles flew home 1-0 and with a healthy quarterback, unlike the Packers, who lost more than a game. Jordan Love suffered a knee sprain and is expected to miss several weeks. Coming up, I'll tell you what I'm hearing about the Eagles' plans at linebacker, specifically with offseason pickup Devin White. But next, I talk with tight end Dallas Goedert about obscure nicknames and unicycles. You want hometown coverage that's just as obsessed with Philly sports as you are? Then access your obsession 24/7 only at Inquirer.com/sports. Get in the huddle with over 40 expert reporters and editors all covering your Birds and other Philly teams. Catch all the insights, analysis, and much more only at Inquirer.com/sports.
Hey, this is Brian Seltzer. I love producing Uncovering the Birds and working with Jeff, just like I love working on the other podcasts we produce at KYW News Radio. We just launched a brand new show. It's called The Week in Philly. Pretty self-explanatory. It looks back and ahead at the biggest stories in the Philadelphia region with a longer lens than what you might hear on the radio. We've also got Gone Cold, exploring unsolved murders in the city. The Gone Cold team released a fantastic miniseries called Ricochet. It examines all the angles of the city's gun crisis. You got to check it out. Bridging Philly brings you stories that connect communities on the issues that matter most to you. One-on-One has great conversations with people in sports you should absolutely know more about. So give the full slate of KYW News Radio original podcasts a listen. Download the free Odyssey app and follow KYW News Radio for Philly's best original podcasts right at your fingertips.
I'm Jeff McClain, Eagles beat reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer, and this is Uncovering the Birds.
Back goes Hurts. Here comes the rush. He fires. He's got a first down and more as he goes to Goddard, and the tight end goes down deeper in Green Bay territory.
Dallas Goedert had a couple grabs on the Eagles' scoring drive that set up a Jake Elliott field goal going into the half of their win over the Green Bay Packers. Goedert has been with the Eagles 7 years now and has become known as an affable presence in the locker room. In our latest Pick 6 segment, the 29-year-old South Dakota native and I talk about Zach Ertz, unicycles, and facial hair.
I've noticed that over your career you've had like a lot of different kind of hairstyle choices and beard choices. And
all part of growing up, you know. You find new barbers and let them do whatever they think is going to look the best, and you rock with it. So, you know, I've never really cared too much about my hair. I never really had great hairdos. You know, I don't got the lines or anything. It's kind of curly. It's kind of crazy. Nothing ever lays how I want. So whatever someone wants to do with it, I let them.
I think some of the veterans were giving you, I don't know if it was like a nickname, but they kept telling you looked a certain way. Do you remember what that was? It had to do with your appearance.
The only thing I can think of is Jason Peters would call me the rookie and the vet, and that's because he said I had a bad hairline. So I was a rookie with a bad hairline.
So what I recall was Lane and I think Kelsey are calling you, said that you looked Amish.
Oh, I did get the Amish. I forgot about that. Since then, I had other people do my beard for me. I think that was the thing. I wasn't very good at trimming my own beard.
I think it was a little unruly and long.
Unruly, long. It's kind of getting there now. I need a trim up. But, you know, until I got to Philadelphia, back in South Dakota, we didn't care about our appearance nearly as much as people in this part of the world. You know, we were hats and, you know, the bigger the beard, the better.
I always felt like it was the fact that they were giving you nicknames early on was like an indication that you, like, they were accepting you. Like, they knew that this kid's going to be around for a while. He can play in the NFL. Did you get that sense as well?
Yeah. You know, anytime the vets, even if they're poking fun at you, doing anything like that, the more you can talk to them, be around them, gain their trust, I feel like that'll just help propel your career faster and faster.
All right, so your favorite movie, I think, is Elf. What's your favorite Christmas movie? Which, can you at least help me out here? Which, is it your favorite just Christmas movie?
It's probably my favorite Christmas movie.
Okay, all right.
I only watch it during the holiday season, so just my favorite movie, man, that's tough. It was Step Brothers for a long time. I'm a big fan of Will Ferrell. Pretty much anything he
is. Anything Will Ferrell?
Anything
he's
in.
Well, so you dressed up like Will Ferrell from Elf in that game around Christmas in 2022, and you had a great game, right?
Yep.
I was wondering, like, if you probably felt like maybe you should have pulled it out last year because it could.
I mean, we should have. Anything to help at that time of the year would have been good.
All right, so here's a football question. Like, you've had a lot of unlucky injuries over your career. You know, to your credit, it seems like you've always kind of come back before the projected date. And because of that, have you picked up any superstitions about since then? Like, oh, okay, maybe I should do this differently or do this now so that I want to avoid future injury.
Superstitions, I don't have anything too crazy. Come game day, I just like to be a fun, energetic guy. You know, I'm not one that's serious, listens to music. I just want to get everybody into, happy. You know, it's for me, it's just playing football, something I love to do. So I just want to joke around with the guys. And it's tough because a lot of people are serious.
Yeah.
I'm glad the tight ends, the group we had last year, was really good at just kind of fitting into my personality,
yeah,
goofing around with me.
Speaking of, like, guys who are serious, Ertz was like one of the more serious tight ends that I've ever covered. You know, like, he's just very business. Like, I mean, he can relax maybe sometimes. Do you have a favorite Ertz story?
Favorite Ertz story?
Something that maybe like kind of like reveals more. Because I always feel like Zach was just like all business, and I know you guys kind of got along. You were different there. You guys are totally.
We were a little bit different. I have the utmost respect for Zach. He was all about ball all the time. I tried to loosen up. You know, we had a lot of inside jokes that I can't even think of right now.
Do you think you helped loosen him up? Like,
I think he shook his head at me a lot. It was a lot of times, you know, I'd say something, I'd try to get a chuckle out of him. You know, he kind of had the mama mentality, and I was, if you watched the Redeem team, I was trying to be LeBron and, you know, find the loosen him up. He'd shake his head and more often than not just walk away and be like, this dude, there's something wrong with him.
All right, last one. So we all know about the unicycle. Do you still do it? Can you still do it?
Oh, yeah. I got two at my house here in Jersey, and every once in a while I pull them out and drive around the little cul-de-sac we got, just sharpening up the skills. When football's done, I might have to take over the panda lady at the Sixers halftime show. So I've been working on trying to balance with one foot, and I don't know if I'll ever be able to toss the balls on my head, though.
Was there ever a conversation with someone in the Eagles being like, yeah, don't do that anymore because, you know, like, it could get hurt? Is there something actually written into the contract that you can't do unicycling?
Nothing about unicycling. I feel like it's pretty safe. You never get going at too high of a speed. During the season, I try to stay off my 6 foot one and just ride the short ones, and I feel like I'm pretty safe with it, pretty good with it. That's not one. There's a few other things in the contract that they don't want me doing. The downhill skiing, I did that every year up until I signed my new contract. I'd go with some buddies in the off season to Colorado and go skiing or snowboarding, things like that. It's just on pause until football's done.
Did you ever break anything from the unicycle?
Not the unicycle. When I was a kid, I think I hurt my shoulder one time, my first time snowboarding, caught an edge and face planted, and the snow doesn't give. Not too much.
All right. Well, thanks, Dallas. I appreciate it.
Awesome.
Goddard has pro ball potential, but injuries have hindered him in recent seasons. He's hoping to finally have a full season that ends with end of the year recognition, heading into the last year of his contract. Eagles have a mini-bye after getting back from Brazil. Next up, the Atlanta Falcons, Kirk Cousins, on Monday Night Football at the Link. Something I'm keeping an eye on, the linebackers. I didn't bring him up in the good or bad section of the podcast, but N'Kobe Dean could have been mentioned in both parts because he was up and down in his first start since a foot injury ended his season last November. Dean dropped what could have been a pick six and struggled to get off blocks in the run game. But he also blew up a third down screen pass with a devastating hit and did this.
Another running play, and this time the Eagles stop him. This time the Eagles are all over Jacobs. and it was the Kobe Dean with a sure-handed tackle for a loss.
The Eagles will likely stick with Dean at middle linebacker, even if Devin White is fully recovered from the ankle injury that left him home from Brazil. As I reported last week, Dean had already beat out White for the starting spot before the injury. The Eagles were unwilling to offer such information. White was the subject of trade rumors ahead of roster cutdowns because word had gotten out. The Eagles gave him a decent contract after his difficult season last year with the Buccaneers. 1 year, $4 million, with $3.5 million guaranteed. But if White wasn't good enough to win the job here, how much does he have left in the tank? The Eagles' approach to his injury this week ahead of Monday night's game versus the Falcons at the Link could say a lot about their answer to that question. And further, Ellie's handling his place on the death chart. Stay tuned. This has been Uncovering the Birds, a production of the Philadelphia Inquirer and KOW News Radio original podcast. Our producer is KOW News Radio's Brian Seltzer. Tom Rickert is KOW News Radio's director of podcasting. The executive producer from the Philadelphia Inquirer is Renee Eiffel. Special thanks to Sports Radio 94 WIP. If you're enjoying Uncovering the Birds, please leave us a rating and a review. Listen to Uncovering the Birds free on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcast, or go to inquirer.com/podcasts. I'm Jeff McClain. You can follow me on X at Jeff_McClain or search my name on any social media platform. Thanks for listening.